The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, here we go. It's time for the Thursday edition of the Daily 10. I'm your host, Matt. Thanks so much for making this a choice of yours each and every day. I will remind you who are new here to the podcast, if you subscribe to this, well, bully for you. You'll get this waiting for you in your inbox, wherever you get your favorite podcast, each and every day at your favorite podcast platform. If you would also leave a rating and review, we would appreciate all the above. All right, we will get to the Red Hot Hawks here in a minute and a pretty telling answer from a Falcons general manager here in a moment. But let's start with the Braves, who put their second straight win together last night in the nation's capital, beating the Nats 5-3. A couple of things last night I wanted to talk about. Number one, it was good to see the offense get jump-started early, and it was good to see Marcell Ozuna be the guy that got the thing going. Ozuna had a big night for the Braves. The opposite field grand slam in the third inning gave the Braves a nice cushion. Ozuna was 2-for-4 in the game. He's now hit in 8 of his last 9 games. In that stretch, he's got 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, and he's only struck out 4 times in those 10 games, which is kind of equally as important. He was a turnstile early on in the season. So little by little, you're seeing, you know, more and more members of this offense get going, whether it's Ozzie, who's in a really nice stretch, Riley, who was in that really good stretch for a while. Now Ozuna looks like he's starting to figure some things out. We know Freddie Freeman at some point, it's a matter of time before he gets red hot. We know Acuna's been pretty consistent after that red hot stretch, even slowing down throughout the season. And I'll add to it, it's nice to see William Contreras, the Braves young catcher who took over for Darnell after the injury. He had a big night last night, 2-for-4, his first career home run, and he crushed that ball last night. So since taking over for Darnell, Contreras is 4-for-12. Now with that home run, 3 RBI, 3 runs scored, and a couple of walks in his 3 games. So you know he has to be feeling very confident about his situation, which is good news for the Braves. The other big story last night, the return of Max Fried, who pitched very well. He looked very reminiscent of the Max Fried we've grown accustomed to seeing over the last couple of years. You know the Braves were going to take it easy with him, probably not push him too far, but he went 5 innings, gave up just 1 run, scattered 4 hits, walked 1, struck out 6, and threw 72 pitches, and he got himself out of a jam when he began a double play in the 5th inning. You saw some emotion from Max coming off the mound, so that is very encouraging. The other news last night, I thought the pen did a very good job outside of some struggles from Josh Tomlin. I don't know how much Edgar Santana is going to factor into things moving forward, but last night he did fine. Tyler Matzek looked like the Matzek what we saw a year ago. And A.J. Minter got the Braves out of a jam that Josh Tomlin put the Braves in, keeping the Braves with a 5-3 lead in the 8th inning before turning it over to Will Smith, who gave us a drama-free 9th. So the Braves are 14-16, game and a half back in the division. They will finish up this series today with the Nats at 4:05 with Drew Smyly on the mound, and we know Drew has struggled mightily, especially with the home run ball. He'll pitch against John Lester today. We'll see if Smyly has figured some things out. Needless to say, the Braves need more out of Drew Smyly, not just because the investment of $11 million, but until you get Soroka back, and well, it's good to have Max back, and we've seen some great things out of Enoa and Ian Anderson. You got to get some returns from Drew Smyly, so we'll see what he can do today. All right, let's transition to the Hawks, who had their best win of the year. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They've had some really good wins since Nate McMillan has taken over, but the stomping they put on the Phoenix Suns last night was beyond impressive. We told you yesterday on the podcast, Phoenix came in with the best record in the West at 47-18, but they were in a back-to-back situation, playing on the road, played overtime the night before in Cleveland, so the Hawks had an advantage. But there's still no way you can come up with a 32-point victory for the Hawks by just putting it on the schedule. It was just beyond impressive in so many areas. The Hawks are now 37-30. They've won 7 in a row at home. And I joked on Twitter, they looked like the Globetrotters at times last night. Fast break dunks, big finishes, raining threes. The Hawks shot 63% from the floor in the game, 50% from three. They out-rebounded the Suns 46-30 in the game. They out-assisted the Suns 35-19. And here's my favorite number. The Hawks bench outscored the Suns bench 74-35, including a 16-0 run to start the fourth quarter that put the game out of reach. In fact, the Hawks outscored the Suns 38-15 in that final quarter. The Hawks got off to a great start in the game. They put up 42 in the first quarter. In that first quarter, the Hawks shot 68%, including 7 of 10 from 3, and they just continued that throughout the game. Plus-minus doesn't tell you the whole story about a basketball game. There's probably more context you can give to it, but it is kind of an interesting thing to pay attention to. The Hawks starters last night, plus-minus-wise, nothing really jumped off the page. In fact, like Clint Capella was -4. Bogey was -5. Trae Young -1. But then look at the bench. Lou Williams was +33. Danilo Gallinari was +30. Okongwu was +33. Kevin Huerter +35. And Solomon Hill +28. Again, it shows the job they did last night. It's just beyond entertaining to see that backup unit who all played together for a good stretch, including the fourth quarter where they didn't have to put the starters back in the game, which should pay dividends tonight. The Hawks are on the road tonight in their back-to-back final road game of the year in Indy against the Pacers. They should be fresh. Capella only played 23 minutes. Bogdanovich, 23 minutes. Trey, 26. John Collins, 23. And then the bench spread out the minutes as well. So it was just a fun basketball game. The Hawks put 7 different players in double figures, including 4 guys who had 16 or more points in the game. But I thought the most impressive, and you keep seeing this guy get better, Onyeka Okongwu is getting each game more confident. You're seeing the results of that. He scored 14 points off the bench last night, 7 boards, 3 steals, and a block. He's finishing better around the rim. You can tell he's just at the beginning of the season without training camp, coming off an injury, no preseason. He was tentative. He wasn't finishing strong around the bucket. You've seen some big growth out of the Hawks' first-round pick, which could pay dividends in the postseason for the Hawks. So, as I said, they'll be in Indy tonight. Hawks are a half game now behind the Knicks, who lost last night in Denver, for the fourth spot and a chance to host in the first round of the playoffs. This Hawks team is going to be scary for somebody. I think they can win a first round, specifically if it is against the Knicks. And yes, I know the Knicks have beaten the Hawks 3 times this year. This is the healthiest the Hawks have been. They have a little bit of everything. Really good shooters, quality rebounding with Capella and Collins, now adding Onyeka Okongwu coming around, the star point guard, good depth. I think they can win a first round series. While I wouldn't pick them in the second round against any of the top 3, Milwaukee, Philly, or Brooklyn, I think they can put a scare into one of those teams. And crazier things, more shocking things have happened than a team like the Hawks upsetting one of them in the second round. But still work to be done. 5 games to go for the Hawks. 1 more road game. Half game behind right now. The Knicks for the 4th spot. And they lead both the Celtics and the Heat by 1.5 games. Remember, the Hawks have the tiebreaker over both of them if it comes down to it. All right, finally, I told you I wanted to get some discussion quickly of Terry Fontenot, Falcons GM, who so far I've liked a lot of what I've heard from Terry. A, he's easy to like and easy to root for. You like the energy, you like the passion. Doesn't mean he's going to do a good or a bad job, but just some early thought when you hear him. Well, he was on the radio on 680 The Fan in Atlanta yesterday, and it was a really good interview. He covered everything from the draft to the salary cap to the roster. But I oftentimes think with interviews, it's the tone or sometimes what the guest doesn't say or what they do say, but how they answer the question, which is very telling. Take a listen to this clip with the question included from Nick Cellini on the future of Julio Jones with the Falcons.
Your gut instinct, will Julio Jones be on this team in 21?
That's tough to give a gut instinct on any player. If we're talking about, if I told you any player is definitely going to be on the team, definitely going to be starting, like that's just, I can't predict the future.
All right, so you heard the silence there at the beginning and then a little bit of a stumble from Terry Fontenot. I'm not much for reading between the lines, and I don't take away a ton from things like interviews with execs. I have a hard time coming up with any other answer than he's going to be traded. I've told you guys what I want. I want Julio here. The fan in me wants Julio with Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley and all the weapons, because I just think it would be unbelievably entertaining and fun to watch. There's the business side, and for the Falcons, it's clearing up cap space. Post-June 1 would be splitting up his dead cap money, and it would also give the Falcons an opportunity to get an asset back. Everything I just heard from Terry Fontenot sounded like Julio's got one foot out the door when it comes down to it. I could be wrong, and I want to be wrong. I want Julio here for another year, even if it's not the best business. Again, that's the fan in me. But listening to the way Fontenot answered that question, it was pretty telling. All right, if you guys would, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for me. This will be waiting for you each and every day at your favorite podcast platform. Pass the word. Mention this podcast to a friend or two. When you see me mention it on social media, give it a retweet or a like. I appreciate that. Rate and review the pod as well. All of those things are appreciated. I'll be with Chuck Oliver on the radio in Atlanta back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And speaking of tomorrow, that's when we'll be back for the next edition of the Daily 10.
Subscribe to the Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.